In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I told myself I wasn't going to preach on Thomas again. Every year, the Sunday after Easter, we hear about Thomas. And I think I've said everything there is to say about Thomas. But the things I say about Thomas, I think, need to be said. And it doesn't hurt us to hear them again. So if I'm repeating myself, so be it. Because Thomas really is an important story. It's a shame that he is forever doubting Thomas to the point where we use it in everyday speech. People call someone a doubting Thomas and don't even know what the reference is. And yet, as I said before, we don't call him denying Peter. Yes, Peter denied Christ three times when he's on trial for his life. Thomas doubted for a week. But we come up with doubting Thomas. Thomas is mentioned three times in the Gospel of John. And this is the time that he has doubts. The other times he has incredible faith. Before they come back to Jerusalem, Jesus says, we're going to go back. And all the other disciples say, no, we can't go back. They'll kill you. And Jesus says, that's what I have to do. And it's Thomas who says, I go with you, Lord. If they kill you, they kill me too. What else can we do? Thomas has incredible faith, and he has his doubts, and that's okay. You can't have faith if you don't have doubt. The opposite of faith isn't doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. And unfortunately, after 2,000 years of Christianity, we have a certain degree of certainty about the things we say, and I think it might be good if we did have some doubts. If we wonder about what it is that we say about God in Jesus Christ, it just flows easily off our tongues. Yeah, God became human. And yet that is an astounding idea. It is a preposterous idea that God, the creator of the universe, should become one of us. That the creator could become a creature. And yet that's what God did. And not in glory and majesty, but in a stable, poor, amongst the Nazarenes. Can anything good come from Nazareth? He didn't come to the posh section of town. He came as the lowest of humanity. God. We celebrate Christmas and have presents and sing Christmas carols and don't really think about how amazing that is. Then we say that he grew up and went out among people and had compassion on them. He saw lepers, people who should be shunned according to everything they knew, and he heals them. He eats with tax collectors. I don't think we'd sit down with an IRS agent if we knew that's what he did for a living. He eats with tax collectors, with prostitutes. He's willing to be seen ministering to all manner of people. He gets a reputation as a glutton and a drunkard. Because he's out amongst people so much. That's what they start saying about him. That God would become a human being and be that kind of human being. Proclaiming love. Proclaiming the kingdom of God. Proclaiming that it exists among us. And that we're invited to be part of that. And that we should love and care for each other as if they're our very neighbors. And treat everyone that way. And of course, that was too good for people. He had to go. You can't preach love and kindness and compassion. That's not what we do. You can't preach that the temple should be about prayer and not about commerce. This guy's got to go. And so they killed him. And that's preposterous. That if God were to come, would he be executed? Would he be beaten, whipped, spat upon, made fun of, mocked, crucified, hung out in the sun to die? Would God die? And yet that's what we proclaim. Jesus Christ died for our sakes. And then the most preposterous claim of all, that he rose from the dead. Bad enough that God dies. He comes back. We should wonder what in the world it is that we've signed on to. It shouldn't be just common, everyday, ordinary, the story that we proclaim. It's once been said that if you're not shocked by quantum theory, you don't understand it. I think the same thing is true of the gospel, of the story of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we've let it get commonplace. This most amazing and astounding story. This most amazing and astounding event. How could it be common? How could we lose our sense of awe and wonder? And with that comes the idea of doubt. How could this be? And yet we believe. And sometimes we believe very strongly, and sometimes our faith is weaker. That's why we have church. That's why we have the community. That's why we have the body of Christ to support us. So we can feel free to think about and question and wonder about all of this because we have each other to support us, to sustain us, to maintain us. I grew up in a faith tradition that made it very important that you always believe. So much so that I've got relatives that don't want to think about their faith too much because if they think about it, they'll start having questions, and if they start having questions, they'll start having doubts, and who knows where that'll lead. I can't do that. I love a faith, a belief, a religion that calls me to question, to wonder, to be amazed. I find comfort in that. That it's not just the same old everyday thing that I don't have to give a second thought to. It's an amazing and wondrous and frightening and incredible thing that we proclaim. And if that leads to a bit of doubt, it's okay. Look what happened with Thomas. Jesus shows up the next week. He doesn't say, "Thomas, you idiot. Thomas, you fool, why didn't you believe?" He says, "Thomas, here are my hands." Notice that he says the same thing to the apostles that he says to Thomas. When he first showed up, he says, "Peace be with you." Then he showed him his hands, and then they were rejoicing. They didn't get it immediately. Why should we hold Thomas to a higher standard? Jesus offered him the same opportunity that he gave to the other guys. And it's Thomas who proclaims him my Lord and my God. Thomas is the only person in Scripture that calls Jesus God explicitly. Paul calls him Lord, and there's an implication there, and from that we can get the whole idea of the Trinity. But it's Thomas, doubting Thomas, who proclaims Jesus Christ to be God. Something that we take for granted. Seems ordinary, average. That Jesus Christ is God incarnate. And so, yeah, if the price for being amazed and intrigued and invited into this incredible mystery is doubt, it's a price worth paying. Because we have that doubt together. We support and nurture each other, and it makes it more wonderful, more incredible, more powerful, this message that we proclaim, the good news of God and Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.